I love that you said that. People who don't understand Bitcoin first.
We've hit 10,000 subscribers. Thank you for supporting my channel. Please like the video. It helps push my content to more people who would find value here. And now let's get into the video.
Welcome back. I have Heather here with me today, who goes by True Heather. And I'm so excited to have you on the show. You have your own podcast, Unhypnotized, it's called. And I am so excited to talk about your new book that you have coming out and Vegas. We're both going to be speakers in Vegas. So we have a whole bunch of stuff to cover today. And so thank you so much for joining me, Heather.
Thanks so much for having me. I've been a fan since you posted it right when you were starting it in the Bitcoin Army, and I've just loved watching it grow.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's so cool. I love knowing how people came to the show and knowing that you were there from the beginning. You saw it, you know, start is such a cool thing. That's amazing to hear. Yeah, and I love what you're into. I love all of your astrology, is it? Like, is that what astrology based? Topics.
Yeah, I mean, astrology is just one avenue of, you know, basically what I'm into is just transformation, consciousness, growth. You know, as a hypnotherapist for like over 12 years, I learned a lot about the mind. I love looking at, you know, our beliefs and the psychology of things too. And so astrology is one tool for sure of like going deeper into your own themes and yourself.
So when you call it Unhypnotized, is it pretty much, what's the basis of the show? Because to me, it's sort of unraveling things that you know about yourself, like that you think you know about yourself. Like, how did you come up with the name? And it doesn't pretty much connect to all these ideas that you have about exploring.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I don't think anyone's asked me that before, because Unhypnotized was actually my, I guess, light from the dark night of the soul that I went through over COVID, which is like, I had this hypnosis practice and I was learning more, you know, Bitcoin was waking me up to even greater systems of just lies and fiat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I realized throughout the course of my work that I really wasn't ever hypnotizing anyone as much as I was unhypnotizing them. Because when these limiting beliefs or when these beliefs in, I mean, even just being able to trust the systems that say that they have our best health and wealth at heart, you know, when that starts to fall apart, it can cause a lot of grief, a lot of anger, a lot of feelings that can make it easy to go for habits that just create avoidance or numbness or even medication. And so once I started to really go through sort of this extended, you know, career of being like, wait, nobody needs me to be the authority over their mind. Nobody needs me to be telling them what to believe. I can just take them to their highest self, their inner guidance, and help them start to see things differently by stopping looking at things from this lens of sickness or fear or whatever it is. And so once I got into Bitcoin and then, you know, hanging around with more Bitcoiners, especially the last 3 years, I had already just made my business unhypnotized in that sense, like, okay, I'm not a hypnotist hypnotizing you, I'm unhypnotizing you. And then of course, like every conversation with Bitcoiners is like, oh, that was like an undoing too. Oh, you had to unlearn that. Oh, you had to see that differently. And so it just stuck, you know, being able to talk about, I guess, all of the systems outside of ourselves that, you know, we unravel, but then also the systems inside ourselves.
Yeah, it almost disconnects you. So that's why the name is so amazing, because, you know, you feel like you're so connected to these beliefs and it does break you down when you realize that it goes from blind belief almost to verifiable, you know, like your blind trust to verifiable trust, like through Bitcoin. When you find that you can actually know the truth instead of just believing somebody. And
we're taking a quick break so I could talk about BitcoinBlackSheep.com. go check out the website for Bitcoin hip hop inspired merch and the new line of Free Samurai t-shirts. 21% of all proceeds go to supporting the families of Bill and Keone during this ongoing fight for justice. And make sure you sign the petition at billandkeone.org. The link is below. Thank you.
And I was just like you, and I've talked about it before on my show, but with the COVID, you know, awakening, I think a lot of people just started to ask questions about incentives and, you know, narratives and all these things. So it was a moment where you start realizing that you kind of like the more chaotic the world gets, I think you just do start to actually get unhypnotized. Like you start to wake up and you start to look at the root of things and you start to go down rabbit holes. And, you know, so that's how I found Bitcoin, was through 2020 and that whole thing. But today, I think a lot of people are similarly waking up to a lot of manipulation. There's so much chaos happening. So I think that we're in another one of those moments where COVID woke us up. I think a lot more people are going to get unhypnotized this time around.
Yeah, I think it's just the inevitable evolution of humanity. Like, we are consciousness raising and all of these things as they keep unfolding. That's what's cool about astrology, is because we can just see it mapped out. Like, leaders have to fall, systems have to drop, you know, serve things that actually serve like the fulfillment and the joy and the health of humanity are going to keep gaining momentum. That's what makes me very bullish on Bitcoin, because it's part of the humanity rising consciousness. Mm-hmm. But also, I think, you know, in that time, that's around, like, I knew about Bitcoin before 2020, but that's when I first got in, like, and then learned, of course, way more about it a few years after that, what it really is, and understood it. And like you said, you know, verify, don't trust. That's the same system I think we should use in ourselves. Like, I think part of the pain that came from the aftermath of COVID is that people outsourced their authority. People who outsourced their authority, you know, didn't necessarily turn out so well for them. And, you know, there's a lot of pain even just having to feel that betrayal of things that they were told and things that they believed. And we're still experiencing that pain. We're seeing the outrages, even if there's not maybe an awareness, even if each person doesn't have an awareness that they're acting from a feeling of betrayal. There's a lot of stuff going on under the surface. And, you know, that's what I think is always painful, like when we drift away from ourselves or we're not listening to our intuition or our truth. And it's easy to not be able to hear that and to be afraid and make choices, like we all do it. It's human. It's just that's the key, right? That's like the key is just verify. Don't just trust what some expert says.
Yeah. I know, that's the thing. And too many people do that these days. It's just easier. And I think that, you know, there's people that, you know, a lot of times when you mention consciousness, it's like, I'm always finding that fascinating, because so many people tie a lot of trauma in their lives or blame, you know, on their childhood, you know, so then they think, well, if I didn't have a good childhood, then I have to believe that the world I'm living in has my best interests at heart and my voice matters and all these beliefs. So I think you just feel like if you do let that go, you would feel so alone and so scared and broken. And if it wasn't, if you don't have the life raft there, if you don't have the safety and security of Bitcoin, it's probably a lot harder to wake up and be unhypnotized, because you don't want to just fall into oblivion. You know, you don't want to just feel like, okay, now I know these things. Now I'm going to like understand that there's so much manipulation and our voice, you know, is suppressed. And so you kind of feel like it's too scary when you don't know there's an answer to actually open your eyes. But I think maybe, I don't know what comes first. Is it starting to learn about Bitcoin? And then that's the key to unlocking your fear from seeing these things and actually realizing that you are being manipulated in one way or another by whatever political party you align with, or, you know, just so many things in this world. You know, there are just so many things in this world that get you to just stay asleep. You know what I mean? But I think, I wonder if it's Bitcoin first that kind of gets you. But I know it's different for everybody. But
yeah, I love the philosophizing of that. Just that's something I love to sit in and consider. And you hit it on the nail, you know, thinking of when somebody moves from a victim mindset to a empowered, or we could say from victim to victor, and just that mindset shift. And, you know, from somebody who has had a life of death and rebirth, and just having to let things go and let things fall apart and move on, I think that, you know, and before I found Bitcoin, I think I can see Bitcoin as I saw God or source or the divine, you know. And I was listening to a space the other day, and they were talking about, like, is Bitcoin God? And I like thinking about that, just because, you know, in this sense that, like, it behaves in ways that mirror principles people have historically attributed to the divine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's decentralized. There's no single authority that controls it. It's, you know, no one can override it. It requires the self to verify, and, you know, not, it's very personal. Mm-hmm. So I think it becomes more of like a reflection or of a modality, like a structure where certain, you know, it can mirror certain qualities back to us. And also it can be that like safe space to land. Because it's kind of like when you're going through what I call is a dark night of the soul, which is just any time that you realize your reality, you're cooked. Like, you can't see things the same. Now all of a sudden your friendships don't align, and you've got to make changes in your habits or lifestyle. Like, as soon as all that happens, it's very scary. And I think if people don't have either the right mentors or support or a beacon of hope, like Bitcoin, to go, okay, you know, at least this will help me through this tough time, because I know there's not just something I can go to, but actually a global community that I can be a part of. And I think that it is a lot harder, you know, when you're going through something where you have to, where you start seeing the truth and where you start become unhypnotizing, if you don't have something that feels like a solution, you know, because I think God or source or the divine can be like, definitely is a guiding light that's always going to pull us through. But then if we come into the practical, tactical, physical world and go, well, now that we're cooked, can't be saving this fiat in the bank, and you can be angry all the time about all the taxes that you're being paid to have to, like, that you have to pay to go to incentives that you don't believe in. You can just be upset and angry all the time when you look at all the corruption, all of the stuff that we have to, like, be a part of that we don't want to, that our tax dollars go to, that we don't believe in. And I think if we don't have a solution, if we don't have something that feels aligned and truth, like, then we're going to not be optimistic or positive. And then what? We're not going to be part of the entities that are creating a better humanity through our imagination of what's possible.
I love that, because when you talk about, you know, spirit, like, I like connecting Bitcoin with spirituality, because, you know, you have this idea of a higher vibration and, you know, that fear and that, you know, hopelessness is this lower vibration that kind of just keeps you stuck in life and keeps your time trapped in a loop that you don't necessarily need to waste that precious time in. So when you actually can escape the fear and doom loop, and you can actually raise your vibration, you know, elevate yourself to a level where you don't need to worry about every single thing or be stuck on fear, you can actually kind of see your life improve. And that's just based on your mindset, you know, that, you know, improving your actual mindset. So that's how Bitcoin helps that. But as far as the spirituality part, I love that you said that, because some people like to touch on that with Bitcoin or with regular people who don't understand Bitcoin first. And that's literally the thing you get to down the road. Like, once you understand Bitcoin, that's something that comes later on. So I think talking about that with people when they don't understand what it is yet is a hard thing to bring up immediately. But it's something that everyone, I feel like people, many Bitcoiners have that same experience about what Bitcoin is. It does release you from fear. It gives you hope, and it is the shining light. But it's also like, it reminds me of sayings from, you know, the Bible, like, do not be afraid, you know, and it's like, we don't feel very afraid when we actually have an answer. We have a safety, you know, that we're escaping to. So, and then it's like the idea of put all your burdens on me, like, do not like hold all your burdens on yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here. You can just like let go, you know, so you can be free and not be weighed down by it. And I think that those are ideas that remind you of, you know, like a heavenly father kind of thing, you know, or somebody taking care of you. Mm-hmm. Those are ideas that align with what Bitcoin is, as far as even the idea of truth. You know, when you think of churches, you know, accepting dirty fiat, you know, and it's like the money of lies, you know, it's based on, you know, corruption, it's based on death and wars and not truth, you know, the way they print money and the way they steal money. And, you know, it's really just a deceitful layer that's even accepted at church. But when you go to the Bitcoin side, you know that it's verifiable truth. It's based on, you know, the laws of the universe and mathematics and, you know, the creator. I always think of the creator as a designer of the world, you know. So I always talk about the patterns of nature and the patterns that you see all around, from our irises to, you know, galaxies and things like that. So that same pattern is, you know, based on math. And, you know, this creator could be math, you know, I don't know. Like, so it's kind of like somehow connecting those dots is interesting. So truth can be, you know, math and mm-hmm. patterns. I don't know.
Yeah. Sacred geometry. Sacred geometry. And yeah. I love that, because if everything is an expression of God, right? Like, everything is an expression of God. So one thing isn't more godly than another thing. But when we look at, you know, that like technology or money or systems or Bitcoin, not as the source, but as a form through which that intelligent expresses. And I mean, when we look at the perfection, in a sense, the divine perfection that is Bitcoin, I don't think I ever said that before, but I like that. Like, yeah. You know, the divine perfection, just like in nature, right? Cycles of death and rebirth and coming back to nature and mm-hmm. coming back to, like you're saying, you know, this money that got so far away from the perfection of God that it only makes sense. Like in A Course in Miracles, they talk about how a miracle is a course correction, right? So I think of Bitcoin as a miracle, because miracles happen all the time. Like mm-hmm. if someone's going in the wrong direction, life is gonna do something to stop them. Mm-hmm. Maybe first they'll whisper or they'll knock, you know, but then the house will fall down and your direction will change. And I see Bitcoin as a miracle, because Bitcoin is the course correction that we needed for money.
I love that you saying that. Yes, it's a course correction. It is really a miracle, because as hypnotized as people have been, it's a miracle that whoever created it, Satoshi, whoever they were, he was, you know, woke up to the not just woke up to the truth. Other people were trying to figure out this version of Bitcoin. They couldn't figure out these problems that Satoshi solved. But the fact that that there were people leading up to it doing these studies, and that somebody was able to figure it out and make it work and be enlightened enough to say, I need to do this. There has to be a way, you know, to escape this theft, this the lies, you know, all these things. So it's a miracle that was actually done when people didn't think it could be done. And, you know, just the miracle of even Satoshi leaving, like all these parts of it are so fascinating. But, you know, it's definitely a course correction. It's definitely so many things that you think about that you're so grateful for. You know, I love that you said it's a miracle. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, like, that's something, you know, I have connected that dot, and I love it because I saw that in myself and in my work. You know, miracles happen all the time when mm-hmm. someone believes they can heal. That's like the first thing that needs to be unhypnotized. Like, that's still massive in our lexicon, like where people are told, oh, this is incurable or mm-hmm. this can't heal, you know. And so even one of the first shifts, if we think of, say, becoming unhypnotized, is like believing that your body can heal. Mm-hmm. And so when someone heals a condition that is otherwise told like is unhealable, well, it's a miracle, but not because it can't happen. It's because the shift happened in an impactful enough way to make lasting change. Mm-hmm. And I love it too. I think the mystery behind Bitcoin is part of its essence and is part of its like attraction in a lot of ways, because again, as soon as it would become like a leader or centralized, right? Like, what's the saying, you know, why in Bitcoin they say kill your heroes, I think it is. Mm. But in spirituality, it's like kill your gurus in that same sense, right? Mm. Like, you're someone else isn't going to lead you to your freedom and liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to take sovereignty. And that's a really big part of, you know, even when you think of parts of the Bible, it's like taking sovereignty over your land and, like, you know, stuff like that. Those are ideas that don't like trust somebody else to just like don't follow them and listen there. You know what I mean? Just be your own person and take care of your own land and your own family. And it's the idea of sovereignty. But also, like, just thinking about Bitcoin as, you know, thinking of it as like this like creator, like a godlike thing. It's not like it's like God came down and put Bitcoin out there on the internet, but the idea of if humans are created in the image of God, you mm-hmm. know, and we are creators like the creator, mm-hmm. if you can believe that you can create your future and you're high enough in that positivity and higher vibration, you can create your future type idea. If you are made in the image of God, then the higher, the more people start to break out and become unhypnotized and create this change in the world. That's how God can come through people, as like, you are the creator, like you can create a better world. Like, exactly. You are made in the creator's image. Like, we are all able to shift and change this world. And that's why it's amazing to think of it. Yes, it could be God, because God is all of us. You know, we are able, when we come together, especially the way Bitcoin connects us all, and the way we've grown and we're, you know, strengthening together against this evil, you know, it's like we are all collectively fighting this battle for good and evil, I think.
Absolutely. That's so well said. That's really well said. That's the way I see it too. And I think it's why once you really feel that and you experience it, that you can't really go back. You know, mm-hmm. I have completely shifted again in my work, just working with more Bitcoiners and looking at what's possible for the future, because it's not just a, you know, an internet protocol, mm-hmm. and it's not just peer-to-peer, you know, exchange. It is a world of people creating the world that they want to live in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was always a grassroots type of gal. I used to be like real hippie, and I still am, you know, inside in the greatest, truest, most free sense. But yeah. I always believed in like voting with my dollar. Like that's why I would buy organic food or buy my food from a farmer or just really be conscious about where I'm spending my money. Of course, not knowing that my money was part of the problem in terms of integrity and value and voting. But I think like I've been thinking about this a lot too, because like I've been thinking about how important it is for us to cultivate in our imaginations the future we want. And I always knew that in personal work, of course, imagine yourself in the year and see how good you feel. But now being part of a global community where every person in it is not just imagining the world that they want, but actually actively making choices to vote on that world is what will literally bring in the new humanity.
Right.
And so it seems, I think, to maybe just regular people and maybe even some Bitcoiners who haven't really tapped into that true spirit and energy and manifestation power of the Bitcoin community. You know, like I've been noticing a lot of FUD on X about just people hating on Bitcoin podcasts and how they're like, I haven't listened to them in 5 years. So did I miss anything? And then people like, no, you didn't miss anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, then you have other people on the other hand saying we need more Bitcoin podcasts, which is what my talk in Vegas is going to be about. And we can get into Vegas in a little bit. But yeah, continue with that idea.
No, I love that because I thought about that too, right? How, right, like if there's maybe nothing to learn, I mean, I think there's always things to learn. We can't go into anything thinking that we know it all or will be humbled. Mm-hmm. But also, I think just even this, it's where we get to continue talking in order to continue creating the world that we want and like the amazing power that each of us has separately and together as a community also is part of why it brings so much hope, because it's like whether Bitcoin goes up to whatever number or not, we are actively creating a better world by being Bitcoiners.
I totally love the way that your thoughts make me think, you know, so because Bitcoin's grassroots, you know, Bitcoin isn't fast. It's not speedy. It's not, you know, clicks and likes. And, you know, it's grown because the people that are ready for it were ready for it at the time that they were. So when you start a Bitcoin podcast, you know, it also takes a level of overcoming some sort of fear or some sort of like, you know, people accepting you or sharing your actual opinion. But we do it because we love talking to other Bitcoiners. Like I love talking to you, and I got tired of listening to some Bitcoin podcasts because I got tired of listening to the same, like, yes, I know about it. I understand it. I already know like the drama in the world. I know where a lot of things are going. I don't want to hear the same news of the day 50 times over. I do want to hear from Bitcoiners, but I just feel like I got tired of hearing after you know what Bitcoin is and you've heard all those podcasts, kind of get to a point where you're like, yes, I'm done. So I get it. I know why they think that. But that's why I thought it'd be cool to just, because I want to connect with Bitcoin people and I want to talk to them and share their story. But again, it's not about, you know, growth and how many people, like if you go viral, it's like, even if one person hears this, you know, and it makes a difference in their life, it's worth it. And we love doing it. We're not doing it for any other reason because, I mean, it brings us happiness to connect. You know, I like connecting with you. And if it's just me and you talking, this is great. But then we get to put it out there for the world. And even if somebody hears it and benefits from this conversation or just enjoys hearing either of our podcasts, you know, you're doing a net positive for the world and people that enjoy it, especially yourself. You know, you're doing it because it's raising your own vibration by doing the thing that you're passionate about. So,
that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. There's so many net positives to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but you know, lots of times my girlfriends and I will be like, oh my God, this conversation should have been a podcast.
Sorry.
Because, you know, because we just touched on like so many great themes mm-hmm. and like so many things. And I think like, that's what's awesome. Like we could, you know, we could call each other and have this conversation, but the fact that we're having it very intentionally and we're keeping it focused on the things that we really do want to elevate and bring energy and vibration to is, again, just going to cause more, you know, optimism and positivity. And you're right. I think it's true. Like once you understand Bitcoin, you don't need to keep listening to stuff or reading stuff that's telling you what it is and how it works and why it's special. Mm-hmm. You know, then you just want to like do other things in it, in that mm-hmm. space.
Yeah.
No.
And that's why it's like, you know, these things about Bitcoin, it's like you get to do these things because you love being in the space. You know, you want to, again, it's weird. It's like you start off online, you know, Bitcoin is a digital thing, but then you want to meet them. And then we start meeting digitally, but also learning about each other and actually connecting. And then it moves from that to actually connecting in real life. So when you think about the whole amplifying the signal thing, you know, there's so much negativity amplified every day on social media and on, you know, YouTube and, you know, places where people find their media. So even if you divert one person's attention or anybody's attention from this algorithm of toxicity, you know, it's like those users, if they're watching a full other episode instead of watching this news loop of, you know what I mean? They're, you are bringing back attention to something that is raising their vibration, making them feel happier, making them feel better. So it's, I always think of it as starving that system, you know, that negative system, that theft system. So yeah, the more you're doing, you're taking energy away from that layer of keeping your vibration low, keeping you angry, depressed, worried, and then you're bringing it to a level of, hey, I like the way Bitcoiners think and feel and connect, and I'd like to meet someone in real life, you know? So I think that that is, that's kind of the goal, you know, strengthening our collective voice, which starts online and then migrates to the real world.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, you guys, we have meetups here and you guys have meetups there too, right?
Yeah. So you're in Canada. So yeah. We started actually, I'm in Chicago. So I only started doing meetups recently in, what was it? Last year, we did our first meetup for the Bitcoin Army and it was amazing. I think it all starts with one person, right? So I had some people from the Illinois Bitcoin Council reach out to me, some friends in the area that have been educating policymakers, advocating for Bitcoin, you know, teaching them about what it is so they can make the right decisions. But they found out about the podcast that I'm a local Bitcoiner. So they invited me to their first get together. And I went and they were the coolest people ever. And my husband and I, we just felt like we fit in, you know, in a world where so many times we are, you know, in this neighborhood where we don't always feel like we fit in with these people. It felt like we were finally like in our group, like it was our group of people. So it was so nice connecting with them that I thought, you know, I've had this Club Orange app for a while now, so I'm going to actually go on there and see if there's any local meetups. So we did, we went to our first meetup after that. And those people were awesome. Now we go every month to this one by our house. Then we hosted the one for the Bitcoin Army after that. And we had people from that I've met online and connected with, our friends that actually came out here. They either drove hours or they flew in from out of town. It was maybe about 30 people, you know, and it was a 2-day event and it was the most fun ever. Like we had such a good time. We weren't just talking about Bitcoin all day. We weren't arguing about politics because we all know, you know, like that so much of it's manipulated, but we had the best time. We just had such a good time. I can't even explain it. We were paying, you know, somebody was selling their book out of a trunk in Bitcoin. We were just buying it out of the trunk. And it was just the coolest thing ever. It was, It was a great experience. So now we're doing more meetups with my husband who sings. He does shows and he's a singer of this acoustic duo. And I'm like, whatever, let's turn every one of his live shows into a Bitcoin meetup. So people could just come out, hear live music and just hang out and talk. So that's what I'm doing as far as on Club Orange. And then, you know, there's also the Chicago Bitcoin Collective that came from that. Now we have this other awesome meetup. The first Tuesday of every month. So I have one at the end of the month in my area. Then I have the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. And I look forward to both of them. And then plus my own. So I really spend more time in the real world with Bitcoiners. And it's been such an amazing experience. So do you do a lot of meetups out by you? And how's your experience been?
Yeah, what a great way to get off of line into the community. I live in Calgary, Alberta. So I moved here basically over 3 years ago. And then I had a Bitcoiner from the province where I moved from that he was being part of the Bitcoin rodeo. And he was like, you know what, Heather, you should come here. I think you might like some of the people there. And so I went to that was my first Bitcoin conference. And then I was like, oh my God, I have people that I like and want to talk to. So that was really good, especially moving to a new city. And then I found out about Bitcoin meetups and I just would go, even if I was the only woman there, or sometimes it'd be a big group, sometimes it would be a small group. They had one that had been going on for years here. And I just kept going. I think then it was every 2 weeks. And then it got into being we had a Sovereign's Mind conference that I had moderated a health panel. Then we had the Bitcoin rodeo. I did I moderated a panel, fiat dating and our fiat dating or Bitcoin, fiat dating on a Bitcoin standard. So I actually have one season of my podcast that's about dating. Mm-hmm. But you know, it just started, like you said, it started to meet. I'm constantly meeting more and more people. I went for, to look at a work co-working space. And the guy said, are you a Bitcoiner? And I was like, yeah. You know, and then it just started a whole different relationship. And so what happened here is so we've had different conferences and meetups in the city. And then the more that I started going, the more women would come. And then the more women would come, if they knew I was going to be there. And then I just actually started building an email list in general. And now, I guess since December, I started my own women's Bitcoin meetup.
Nice.
Yeah. And we had I think it was 20 people, the first one. And I had been building up this list. So having names on my list. Oh, and then I did a women's brunch at the rodeo last year. And we just sold out 32 women brunch in the morning. Just really seeing the need and the way that also women could come with their friends and learn more about Bitcoin. And then they're just there in the conference energy. And so they already get to see oh,
love this.
This is this isn't what I thought it would be at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say that now we have the main meetup every month, and we used to sort of joke it's the men's meetup and then this is the women's, but now all these women from the core of my group are at the main meetup, so it's we were 60-40 I think last meetup.
That's amazing. Good job.
Yeah, so I really feel and I'm like you where I'm you know what, now that we have this women's meetup, I was oh, I kind of want to go play pool. I haven't played pool forever, and I was oh, I'll just put the women's meetup at the pool hall. And you know, we can start to do things and make these friendships. And so that's something that I really saw over the last I see now how over the last 3 years, just having the email list, sending out a regular email, and being part of creating the community has really helped it to grow into something that also I want to be a part of.
Wow. So building an email list, so that's got to be, I mean, that's amazing, but it's got to be hard to, know who's in your area and who you can connect with, I guess. But maybe once you meet them at these conferences, you can build those lists, right? That's probably how you do it.
I do it in person, because I think like now I have a form that like I'll send to a woman. If you know a woman, have her fill this out, because it's just better if they join, you know, than if I add them. But like, really, I really did it like just how I built my business. Just like, if I met you, I put you on it if you wanted to be on it. Yeah. And then now I do differentiate it a little bit. Like, I have like the core women that I know in a signal group, but I don't have like everyone from the email list on there, because we do also have to be careful of just scams and stuff like that.
You should be, I don't know if you do Club Orange, but it's a great.
I do, and it's awesome. And I put our group on there, but getting everyone on there is really hard.
It is. And I think people don't realize, once they learn about Bitcoin, I just think that I wasn't utilizing it as much. But ever since I started realizing, first of all, anti-spam, you know, the fact that it is a pay platform that you pay, like, you don't have, like, people that are on there are Bitcoiners. Like, you're not going to pay for membership. You know, there's the monthly or the one time, like a lifetime fee that you could pay. But it keeps out those spammers and scammers, because people have to put up something, you know? So that's a great, like, the paywall is great for that.
Agreed.
But I also love that, you know, the events are great on there. I love that it's geolocation, so people in your area could see events. So if you do post it on there, you might get some more Bitcoiners that are, you know, and since you did do that, but I think that people aren't using it enough yet. It's still pretty new, but I love the GeoZap.
That's such a great reminder, because I've been thinking about this too, Stacey, because I saw you're doing more with Club Orange too. Mm-hmm. And I have the lifetime, and I did make the group on there for this reason, because in our local like Telegram group, I think 4 people got scammed from it. So I really wanted to be off of there. And then I wanted the women's group, like, just because I have control over how it's done, to have more like, it's like have less easy access, I guess. Yeah. And a lot of new people are coming into that. And so that's inspiring to me. I'm going to work it more, because actually I did already create a group in there. I shared the link, and then a few of the women said, like, you know, can we not have a paid way? And I was like, we can, but this is why. And I think I could get them on it more, and I'm going to start doing that, just at least putting the events on there.
Well, and the good thing is that every time people pay, then you get, like, everyone has their own referral link when they join. So then everyone gets 5,000 sats per, you know what I mean? So you get sat back every time. Plus, anyone who's doing anything, I just think it's when you're talking just to Bitcoiners that you know are Bitcoiners, I feel like on X, we all have so many friends, and how many people really interact with your stuff, like, really, really do.
True.
When I post, I mean, since I talked to Mateo, you know, the CEO of Club Orange was on my
show. I've met him before here in Canada.
He's, I can't wait. I'm going to meet him in Vegas. He'll be in Vegas. We'll both get to meet him.
I'm going to come to that Orange, Club Orange party.
Yes. Oh, good. Yeah. So amazing. Yeah. So Mateo's the best, and he explained it so well. But I think that when I love the geo zapping, because you can market yourself, like, you can have, I could have an episode with me and you, and I could share it in all the women, you know, the women's group, and zap everybody's sats. So everyone can earn however many sats.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's what I actually have to learn, because I wanted to do that for my Proof of Mind membership, because I'm like with the book proposal and the membership, like, I want to do that with both, because Proof of Mind is a school membership for Bitcoiners to be able to shed those unhealthy patterns and like really step into self-actualization and create the vision of themselves, you know, that's in their mind in reality. So it's like, it's just still in beta, but like it's a membership, and then goes with the book, which is Proof of Mind, which is like, I'm not sure if it's a Bitcoiner's guide or just like how Bitcoin principles can, you know, guide you to break bad habits and become the best version of yourself.
That's amazing.
Because all of these things like connect. And so that's what I wanted to learn. I need to spend more time in there, just how to like even zap all the women or like zap, because that is actually good. Because like sometimes I don't look at it, but I'll always kind of look through it. Like I saw one from you in there and I was like, oh, cool. Because it's true. Yeah. Like we get busy. We're not always on X. Mm-hmm. And we definitely don't see, even when I put notifications on people, I don't see stuff.
Well, that's why I think that, when there's more awareness that people know that people are doing these geozaps, because yeah. I don't think enough people know. And it's amazing because if you look at your wallet and see who zapped you, it's either just to say hello or because nobody could direct message you unless they send you at least one set. But then if you want to send, you know, you could send any message with a minimum one sat, but if you send like 21 sats per person, you know, yeah. they get a push notification or something. So if you look through your messages and see people have randomly zapped you sats based on either trying to connect with you. Hey, I'm in your area. So those people that zap are people that are trying to say hello, but you know, they're not bots because they put up something, you know, some yeah. scarce asset of Bitcoin that we have. It's very little one sat, but it's something. And I don't know, talking from hearing Mateo and hearing his experiences from people this whole time he's had the app, people have met up. It's amazing. He says he'll travel to people travel to a new city or place in the world and they'll get out of the airport and zap everyone in that location. Like you can see how many people and you could say, hey, everybody, I'm in town. Do any Bitcoiners want to meet up tomorrow afternoon, wherever, you know,
and you could just like.
Yeah. And then whoever gets that zap can say, yes, I'll come meet a Bitcoin. So you'll just like meet friends all over the world. And it feels like everyone who's done that, because it is this paid platform, you're not going to just have some rando yeah. that's going to try to scam you. It's a Bitcoiner. Yeah. And I just love it. Like I've been obsessed with it ever since.
Cool.
But sharing my episode with people through geozapping, I can take my entire Bitcoin army chat, or if there's the Women in Bitcoin group, yeah. you can zap the entire chat, everyone in that chat. Your message, you know, that's a great way to promote your thing, plus tagging a sat to it, or tagging however many sats to it per yeah. person. It tells you what the total will be, you know, based on how many people you're zapping and how much. But it's like then everyone gets that DM with the link. So it's like anyone who's on there, you're getting DMs based on your location or yeah. whatever group chat you're part of. You're just getting sats to be messaged from your friends, you know,
so it's more relevant because it's actually mm-hmm. like based on your interests and where you are and like yeah. groups you've joined, right?
Yeah. And people, you yeah. know, write me back. I've had so many Club Orange people, like how many times I've shared my podcast on X, and I have the same core group of people that just are so supportive and
totally
really great people. But then on Club Orange, I'll do one of those geo zaps and people will be like, oh, thank you for sharing. I really love the podcast. Oh. You know, that was a great episode or something. So I'm getting good feedback and it's so yeah. nice.
Yeah.
So I love it. I think it's a great way for podcasters, for anyone having an event, to be able to, like, who wouldn't want to just like be able to use a messaging platform where you yeah. could zap stats back and forth.
Well, and where we're exchanging value again, like where we're not just like, you know, mm-hmm. spamming the DMs. It's like, yeah. I'm actually giving you value to put right. your, just to look at this that I think might value you.
Yes. You and know? It's not and it's like you have better. To zap. Yeah. You don't yeah. have to zap people every time you DM. It's only the yeah. first time to connect with that person.
Yeah.
And then they can't, you can't, I don't know if it's you can't message again until they respond first.
Yeah, they have to first reply because yeah. I have some that I haven't replied to. Mm-hmm. I just left them sitting there.
Yeah. But usually you could just wave back or whatever it is. But people yeah, do. Yeah. But people are cool. Yeah. You know, I haven't had anybody who's like bothered me after that. Even once they get into your DM by yeah. zapping you saying whatever, they're not going to just keep. It's not like they have to keep paying, but they just don't, like, people are just real on there, I think, you know? And
oh, yeah. I met, like, my favorite lady. Like, she's becoming a really good friend of mine. Like, I met her. She messaged me through there.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, see, yeah. And I've met so cool. many of the people in Chicago Bitcoin Collective, all the people that started coming together, wanting to build a hub in Chicago where people can, like, there's a restaurant called Fork and Coin, and then there's a group of people that... there's a co-working space upstairs. The restaurant is downstairs and it's just opening now. Like I think we're having our second meetup now, but the restaurant's coming soon, like in a month.
Cool.
But the chef has already had a couple of events making food for whatever event it was, but the full restaurant will be open in like a month. And I met these people through there. You know, I wouldn't have met, you know, some of the people I met because they invited me first. But then after seeing how cool they were, because I was just so afraid. Yeah. I'm like, do I want to meet Bitcoiners in real life? I don't know. And once I did, it was the coolest. So then I started finding other meetups through through there. And now I've met all these cool people and they're literally our new core group of friends. Yeah. And I love meeting them, you know?
That's such a good reminder. I have a meetup coming up, like the women's meetup. I'm putting it on there and I'm just going to really put everyone who's there at the event, I'm just going to get them to really do that, because also for them, like, so that they're not just relying on me to connect them in the community, you know, they can connect with other people too. And see what's up. Because a lot of times people will say, oh, I missed your email, or like, I missed this. And I mean, I don't have time to be messaging every person. Yeah, but now I could just do the geo. And then especially just getting, I think the women on there is really good, because I know with our, for example, with our SAT market here, it's like the place where most people, including myself, did their first Lightning transaction ever. And now they're just like, we just do that all the time. So I think any little thing like that, like now getting set up on Club Orange, that's like another Bitcoin literacy step.
Yeah.
That I think is helpful too.
Yeah. And it shows people how easy it is to zap each other. Like, you can use Lightning, like everyone will have a Lightning wallet when they join there, so they can just send each other.
Yeah.
Again, it's like saying a thank you, and it's like a zap, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, instead of a like, you're like zapping, you know, and it's like so nice. So if somebody says something in the group chat that you like, you're like, instead of a heart, you could do a zap. If you, I just love that. I love that too.
I just always zap. I'm just like, I got a bunch of sats in there.
I love doing it too. I think it's cool. Just like, I saw it.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's like better. Like, if you're a Bitcoiner, and that's why it's connected also to Noster. It has Noster integration. So anytime you're zapping on Noster, it's the same idea with Club Orange. So I just think they go hand in hand, and I'm tired of algorithms lately. And, you know, like I started off on X with the Bitcoin Army, and it was great to find the people that I found. But lately, I just feel like these algos are trying to like really push us apart and make you feel like you're ghosted again, you know, and it's kind of like, but I don't feel that.
Or then it's like the same people that you connected with, but then the message isn't really getting out there. And I find, like, even when I put on the notifications, I'm still not seeing stuff, or and then if you're not like super aggressive with the algorithm, you just don't get, you know, you don't get the same reach. I was just thinking about, I was gonna say, you're welcome, Mateo, this is like a great, you know,
I know, right?
This is a great little plug, but it's so true. And like, I appreciate the reminder of it, because it's like, it is true. It's hard to, people are so pulled in so many different messaging apps and things. And I would definitely prioritize, you know, even with some of my friends or clients, I'll just go back to messaging them on Club Orange, because like, it's just at a different, like, if I see that, I'll look at it before like all the Telegram or like all the WhatsApp or whatever kind of fiat.
Yeah, I think I just like to remind people that, like, if people see that I'm messaging on there more, that's where I like spend more of my time. Then if they want to connect with me, then they go there to talk, you know. So I think that's, because so if people want to reach out to you, be like, I check this more often, find me here. Because that's where we want people to go, to more Bitcoin places. Signal is great, but it's also not Bitcoin based, you know, and it's not meant for the real world connection. And that's what I find so valuable. It's so uplifting and it's so energizing meeting with Bitcoiners that I think it's great to get others to. Again, you don't have to babysit everybody and get them to connect with you or others. You can have them do that.
Yeah, that's actually really good, because I get like, I do have to just leave a certain amount of messages on red or just not get back to people. I just get bombarded by messages all the time. And so that's really good. I'm going to do that too, and just be like, here's my preferred. So if you actually want me to answer, you know, here's the best place to reach me.
And maybe if they ask a question in the group chat, let's say, then someone else can answer it before you get to see it. If, you know, if someone else knows, you know, then it cuts back on your precious time.
Love this. I mean, saving time is what we're all here to do, right?
Right. Yep. So yeah, it's amazing. So then that's a great way to promote your book when it comes out. When do you think you are going to have it?
So the book isn't coming out. So right now I'm in a contest, like, well, really I'm in a membership called Authorpreneur with Hay House, and I am just going through this like really intense proposal package because I just want to maybe win a book publishing contest, basically. And, you know, whether or not, I mean, I've always had this vision in my mind that I'm going to be a Hay House author, but it's kind of interesting because it is a Bitcoin book, but I feel that Hay House, of all people, they have been ahead of the curve forever. Like Louise Hay was just a total, you know, OG in bringing spirituality to the masses and you can heal your life. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm working on it. I decided to not do the April deadline because, like, it really has to be, like, very high level and very thought out. And the more I thought about going to Vegas and being able to actually talk and talk with other Bitcoiners and share the concept and see, like, how they view, you know, basically taking the inner journey, the inner sovereign journey to, like, self-actualization looks like to them. And then taking all these things like proof of work or, you know, verify, don't trust, or low time preferences, and connecting them to, like, the inner journey has, and then the whole thing has to be, like, super high level. So I thought, okay, I'll take the August deadline. I'm at least, if anything, it'll make me get it done. And then I can always have, like, a Bitcoin publisher or something if it's not for, if it's just too, you know, if it's just too far future thinking, forward thinking for Hay House, like, I'll be okay. But it's, like, giving me so many tools and skills and just, like, the knowledge of how to, like, properly set it up in a very professional way and then connect it to my network and my membership. So, yeah, there's, like, it's a definitely a work in progress that's taken me down, like, a lot of rabbit holes too.
That's amazing. And it's like a, you know, it's a passion of yours to put a book like that together and share what, you know, knowledge you have with other people. But it's also nice that you get to do that practice, but you also get to, even if it's too far, like, not in the same wheelhouse for those people and you don't get it through them, maybe somebody who comes across it might have some interest peaked that, you know, you just never know by going through a regular channel. You just don't know who you might reach just by doing whatever it is you're doing. So I think that's cool.
It's like, I really always knew I have a lot of books in me to write. And it's just funny that this is the one, because I originally started off with writing about my work and then it just became more and more like, this has to be a Bitcoin book. And even with, you know, say all of my people from my work, I think that they're also like, why did this lady just, like, go to Bitcoin and, like, never come back, you know? And I think it could help them see, because they already sort of understand transformation. But it really came about from, like, speaking in spaces too, and just seeing how many Bitcoiners, like, they get it and they have already have had sort of that veil lifted, but they haven't had that same, like, journey or experience that I have to, like, that inner sovereignty and just how, like, curious and awesome and, like just genuinely wanting to, like, learn and grow Bitcoiners are. I thought, like, I just want to create a guide for them that will just, like, give them that power.
I love it. Yeah, they don't understand until they go through it. But again, if somebody comes across the book and finds out, then they'll know. You know, how and why you're doing these things. But you are not just, like, you were, like, 20 years in this field, right? And then it's like,
like, I've been healing myself, because I started with healing myself, like, now I'm 49, I was like 21, so I don't even know.
I mean, that's similar to me, but you're doing it with healing and you know, business and all those things, and I'm doing it with hair. I was just saying, I'm a hairdresser.
Well, like, hairdressers are the, you know, the counselors of the beauty industry.
Actually, yes, I do feel a lot like a therapist.
That oh, I know you are.
Yeah, I mean, so true. Yeah, so I have, like, a, it's, you know, it's even funny because they do think of us as therapists because they, people tell us things that they don't tell most people. So we even had to first, for our license these last couple of years, we had to take a certification for recognizing people, women who are abused, like if they are saying something, maybe picking up on something, to be able to help, because they wouldn't tell most people, but they might tell, like, say something to their hairdresser that we might pick up on. So that is interesting. Like, hey, you got to help out with with this situation if you see something. So I'm like, wow, that is pretty crazy.
That's true. I've trained some hairstylists, and then also just like known a lot and had clients a lot, because yeah, you guys are really, you're that safe space to share. And I mean, I can imagine just like, well, I know things personal. That people tell you.
Yeah, it's personal. You're spending time with people, but also like there aren't very many professions where you actually put your hands on somebody.
True.
You know, besides a doctor of some sort.
Doctor, massage, like.
Massage, yeah, like service and type things.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I think that's why people start to open up more, because they're like, well, I got to trust you. You have your hands on my hair, you know, so.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, that is really amazing to think that you, you know, you take that turn and you figure out how to connect Bitcoin back to all these ideas and principles, and people start to think like, how do you spend most of your time in that? You know, it's just funny how they probably are just wondering, like, that they haven't actually looked into what you're doing yet, or haven't taken a dive into this yet. Yeah. And then also, I love that we are going to be, so can you tell people or tell me us about your panel that you're gonna, it's gonna be a panel that you're speaking on in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm so excited to go to Vegas and be a part of this. I just felt I wasn't really planning on going until they reached out to me to ask me to be on this panel. And I was like, for sure, I'm going now.
Yeah.
So the name is Forecasting Bitcoin with Macro Models and Mercury Retrograde on the Genesis awesome. Stage. I did post it on my X, but I'll post it again. But basically it's like Bitcoin's volatility inspires analysts to experiment with models far beyond traditional finance. Hmm. Dive into the discussion of astrological cycles intersecting with technical analysis, sentiment, and macro trends.
You know, it's true, because I think I feel like how you talked, like people talk about cyclical things too. So did you mention the cyclical nature and, you know, Bitcoin following, you know, rules of nature and all that stuff. So it's something that you're always going to have a weaving pattern of like opening and closing and things just coming and going. Mm-hmm. And it's just with Bitcoin, it is these, people call it volatile, but it's like the cycles follow parts of our world. You know, right now they're following things, I think, in you know, the Fed cycle, you know, let's say, you know, like they would, people follow the halving, you know, people follow the way that Bitcoin is programmed itself, follows certain cycles. And then it's also kind of tied with the Fed printing and the money printing and macroeconomics. But like in the big picture, you know, you just wonder like the way that astrology is and the way that, that what part of these phases we are, you know, it's just interesting to connect those bigger picture things to parts of how our world is changing. It's fascinating.
Yeah, well, and then Bitcoin's role in it. Mm. So, because I'd been deciphering the Bitcoin charts, and actually I just vibe coded a Bitcoin Synastry app that links like your natal chart, sun, moon, north node, and south node. So like your karma and your destiny to Bitcoin's white paper, the Genesis block, the first transaction, and the client release.
I want to check it out.
Yeah, I'll put it. I need some beta testers, because like it took me a bit to solve the astrology. So sometimes the houses are off. But anyways, like, because I'd been like, I did do like posts on like each of those dates, I think, except one I have left. And then like I started just doing it for my friends, like, and myself, of course, like, how does my chart connect with Bitcoin? And like, where is Bitcoin revealing to me patterns? And then, you know, things to pay attention to for the future. And so I forgot about that. Actually, I haven't shared it. It's just been like, I've just been like working away at it. Yeah. And it's so fun to see. I'll send it to you to beta.
Very interesting. Thank you for remembering to bring that up. That is definitely something I want to do. I always tell people about how I think about, I don't know, I always think there are no coincidences in life, you know, and it's like sometimes you wonder, am I destined to have learned about Bitcoin, you know, in my life and started a podcast because,
Have to see yours because one of the things is like, I have like, I think it's like five things. So it's like Bitcoin residence, Bitcoin awakened, but then the top is like Bitcoin faded. Mm. So there's like all these different things, but I actually honed it in on like the life's purpose, like, because I really think, you know, one of the things that astrology has to offer us is like, it can really show like the world, but also ourselves, like you said, that zoom out is so nice to be able to see like trending themes. And then even like Bitcoin themes, like it really, so many of the things that are happening in the world, and then even it's up and down, you know, it's sort of volatility, I guess we could say, is so in alignment with like the evolution of humanity according to astrology. Mm-hmm. And then when people can see how like, here is where you fit into it, mm-hmm. or here is what Bitcoin might be illuminating in you. Because like, I think Bitcoin can trigger us. It can like cause us to have to face things. Like it's done that for me. I had to really look at my like money, and in my chart there's a lot of stuff about like money and death and rebirth, and like it's had to, you know, it's really been illuminating things in all of us, I think, just maybe we don't realize. Mm-hmm. And then like seeing where we could be in tune with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where astrology does offer, you know, a lot of helpful information, not as like a predictive tool, but as a way to understand like all the chaos and all the themes that are happening beyond just like feeling powerless and like we're all cooked.
True. Yeah, you're right. It does. It makes you feel like there's some bigger picture there, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I think about, that's why it'd be interesting to see those, you know, the chart and see how my story or my, you know, how things fit in with it, because I always thought it was interesting, and I didn't know this for many years. I all of a sudden realized it one day, because I know that on my cousin's birthday was when I met my husband for the second time. Like I met him in 2008, October 17th, and the white paper came out October 31st of 2008. But I met him October 17th at a wedding, but then we didn't talk again until my cousin's birthday, which was the day of the white paper release, but it wasn't until a year later. So it was the same date, January 3rd, I think it is, the same date as my cousin's birthday. But the following year was when the white paper, I guess, fully, like, or the Genesis block. Sorry. So when I met him, it was like a week or something before the white paper release in 2008. But then I actually started like, the Genesis block was like the genesis of our relationship. Like ever since we saw each other that day, we didn't separate since that moment. So I was like, that's crazy. It is January 3rd. And we didn't know that till many years later when I was into Bitcoin. And then we thought about that date. And I'm like, holy crap, Genesis block day is like the day that we started like dating. It's so nuts. So, and I don't know, it's just kind of crazy. Like, I just think about it like our relationship has like started when Bitcoin started. It's just kind of funny.
That's actually so cool. I'd love to see both your charts because, like, I mean, I guess we can always do that, right? We can always kind of go, well, was this, you know, a coincidence? But personally, I don't believe in any coincidences. And I do believe that, you know, like Bitcoin finds, you know, Bitcoin, that energy of Bitcoin found us at some point. But then it's so cool that you guys came together. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's That's crazy so that cool. He is the reason, like, even though I was the super obsessed person learning about Bitcoin, you know, he was the reason I started talking and starting the podcast and doing any of the things I'm doing now, including the conferences. Like, he has been always my, like telling me to get out there and speak and do the things I'm doing now. So I think it's really cool that together, you know, since, you know, I think it's cool that he supports, but he also encourages and gives me.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see your panel in Vegas too. I thought that was just perfect that you were going to be speaking about your podcast.
Yeah, it's about why people should start a Bitcoin podcast. And I think it's, again, for those people who think, oh, I'm tired of them and stuff. It's like, because more people are kind of tired of them, but more people just want to hear and connect with Bitcoiners. So I think it's important. Again, it's not like we're doing it to be the viral next channel. You know, we're doing it because we enjoy it. And anything that brings you happiness and makes you feel fulfilled is a good thing. And even if it reaches one person, I'm like happy if it helped one person. And even if they know a person in their life that they think a certain episode would resonate with, they'd share it with one friend, you know? So it's like, you just never know. And that's all that matters. I'm doing what I love. And that's, and just helping anybody that it helps is always a good thing. So it's not just me, it's whoever else decides to do this and puts aside their fears and their worries that people are going to judge them. It's like, just everyone starts off somewhere. You have to just do things. So
you have to just do things. It's true.
Yeah.
And I like it because you get a different perspective. You know, it can just open your mind about things, and just hearing different ways that people think about things can help you be more clear on like what you think.
Yeah. No. Well, hearing your thoughts, it makes sense of some of your own thoughts, because you think that, like, I have a lot of dots that I'm connecting all the time. And I think that hearing somebody else have those thoughts or, you know, share those ideas, it makes sense of them to yourself. You know, so you're like, oh, I'm not the only person who has these ideas. You have somebody out there who's also put in some work and thought about these things. And it helps you all kind of realize what this is. You know, it's, you know, Bitcoin isn't money, just money. You know, Bitcoin is money. But it's not just money. It's a network. It's all of us putting our time into something and connecting. It's just so many things. It's it's incredible. You know, so it's cool to discover together with other people.
Yeah, it is. It's so many things that it's like, I guess that's why we need podcasts to just keep talking about all the things that it is. And I felt that right from when I started to really feel valuable and valued in the space from just being able to bring my past work and like experience in to something that didn't, like, I think that like an outsider doesn't understand Bitcoin would be like, well, what is like unhypnotized or transformation or growth or any of these things have to, or spirituality have to do with Bitcoin? And, you know, once I felt that and I felt like, wow, there is a space for me here too.
Right.
I can't even imagine, like, in my own work, coming back to my own work and then trying things that used to work before, or people I used to serve before, like the universe was literally just like, not like crickets. At like the universe was just like, no, like you cannot go back. That's just fear or like familiarity. Just like move forward and go where you're feeling called to go, because I think that's also part of this. I think Bitcoin gives us that sovereignty to be able to like have more faith that like we can stop doing these things. Like you don't have to just stay in a job or in a relationship or in a pattern of doing something that feels safe and comfortable, if it's like draining your energy, if it's like draining your life force. And I think that that's a great way to gauge, like, is this right for me? And I think Bitcoin, at least for me, is like, I have endless energy for Bitcoin. Like I can talk, we could talk for hours and not get tired, you know?
I know. I feel like I look forward to talking to Bitcoiners and hanging out with them. But I think that it's weird how that happens, because even in my experience, you know, as I'm spending more of my time in Bitcoin, you know, going to conferences, doing the podcast, going to meetups, all these different things, I feel like it's like a seamless transition. It's almost like it feels like I'm meant to be transition, because at the same time that I'm spending more of my time and energy in Bitcoin, I'm also doing it as a small business owner, as the economy is strangled, as people have less money to spend. And, you know, I've always been, all the years I've been doing hair, I've been doing hair like 23, 24 years. And it's always been so busy where I never had any time and I was so, so busy. But lately, as I'm doing this, as the economy is getting harder, people are cutting back on things they used to do, coming in less often. Yeah. It seems slower at work, which also, yeah, it's not a great thing. You don't want to work less, but at the same time, I have more time to do the things I want to do because I don't have to say no to people. There's just a little less work, but I'm also, you know, prices go up over time. So I charge more for it's like, it just kind of like balances out, but it is getting harder for everybody. So I'm not any different than most people. Things are getting harder. Life is getting more expensive.
Yeah.
And, but it just feels like it's like this transition of like, I didn't have any time and now I have more time and I kind of like make more room for the things I want to be doing. So it's just interesting how that transition is happening kind of as the world is sort of changing. It's weird.
I love that. I love that. I think that's where Bitcoin really does give us a grounding in that sense, like where, right, like maybe there's this shift so that you can have the time and space to devote yourself to the things that you're really feeling called to do. And again, there's a mental, you know, there's a mental balance, you know, to create where we don't want to, you know, ignore what's happening, but we also don't want to just sit in the negative sledge of it. Yeah. And just, you know, be in the victim mindset when we could like take the opportunity to invest and grow the things that we want to in that time.
I love that. I love that you could take what I said and just totally understand it and relay that to other people and how they must be feeling during this time. Like stop feeling sorry for yourself because of something. This is an opportunity, you know, and
yeah.
Saving in Bitcoin is also your, again, when you feel like you like saving is hard, you save in a better money, yeah. You know, and then you
yeah.
spend your time
yeah.
In a better world, you know, I don't know, better futures.
Well, yeah. Well, and I think that's part of it too. Like we can all, you know, we can all understand the reality, so to speak, of what's happening. But if we don't take the opportunity, like what if, this mm-hmm. is exactly what we need so that we do get better aligned in our actual lives too. Like I do think that Bitcoin doesn't really let anyone go. Like it's like it makes every person who's connected to it have to face themselves and just have to like actually learn low time preference. I mean, I don't know how many times I've like talked about low time preference and then I find myself in it again and I'm just like, wow, my time preference was just still too high on this thing that I'm creating.
Right.
Or on this like on this journey that I'm on for, you know, whatever it is, better being healthier or feeling better or like saving or building something or relationships. Like
yeah.
And that's the value. I think if we can take it as this is something really good, this is offering us an opportunity to truly get aligned, to truly, mm-hmm. you know, look at how we want to create the next 20 years of our lives.
Yeah.
It is a gift.
It is really a gift, like learning patience. Because I forget, as much as I hear about low time preference, I forget that means patience, because so many of us are impatient. We want everything fast. We want everything instant gratification. And I feel like that's really what I've noticed has changed about me the most, which was very impulsive, very impatient. And I have noticed that being the biggest change. So even though I always hear the term low time preference, I don't really think about it too much when it's one of the biggest parts of me that I feel like has changed because and that was really hard for me to transform from because it was, I mean, I was like checking the chart of Bitcoin like every hour. I was like, you know what I mean? Like you have, it's like constantly I have to do something. It's like, no, you don't, just save in it. And you know, I love the idea of like, do you look at your home price every day? Cause are you planning on selling your home? You know, it's like, no.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, you just set it aside, you save in it, whatever. And it teaches you how to save, which I think is hard for people. But for me, yeah, definitely learning patience and stepping back and stopping, like learning where to spend my time, you know, and how to stop doing the things I used to do. And a lot of that stuff has to do with low time preference. So it's very important.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think low time preference is an integral change. So it makes sense that, like, it's not just this obvious, like, oh, I am different. But I think it's like that just at the foundation of who we are, creating something new. And, you know, in brain science, like, it is like that mental blueprint, like creating that new mental blueprint every time we make a choice that's right for us in that sense, like really right for us, not from this impulse, like you said, not from this, you know, place of impatience. It fundamentally changes the way that we approach things. And so I could see that being like a very subtle shift. Like, I know that's been for me too, where I notice like people are annoyed at me for not doing things faster. Mm-hmm. You know, or not having like being able to just do all this. And for me, I've realized, especially as I get older, like I can't just push through. Like I need to step back. I need to really go at my own pace, no matter like who it irritates, because it's fundamental to my health.
It is.
Like, it is fundamental to my longevity, and I don't want to die soon, and I want to live well and healthy like into an old age.
Yeah, we gotta stop juggling, you know. Yeah. we juggle too much, and we think like, how long could I do this for? And it's like, no, you need to chill out. Yeah. Like, you know, take a break.
Well, and just wait till you get to, you know, wait till you get older. It's like your body just like, you just can't, like, it's just like, you can, but for me, I'm not the type, like, I don't want to ignore myself until I have like conditions that are almost impossible or impossible to
unravel. You're right. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah. You have to, because maybe when you're younger, you think like, okay, I'm going to ignore my own mental and physical well-being because I have to do 800 things.
Yeah.
As you get older.
Honestly, you can. Yeah. It's easier.
Yeah, you can. And then once you start to realize, man, I'm starting to break down. And mentally and maybe physically, you know, all these things. And you can't do everything you used to and not take care of yourself. Like, you need to start putting yourself first, taking care of yourself, not just physically, but mentally. And then you could do the rest of the stuff. Because they always say, what is that saying? You're no good to anybody else if you're...
Yeah.
Like, I forgot how it goes, but you have to take care of yourself in order to take care of other people.
Yeah, put on your own oxygen mask, you know? And yeah. I think it's good to start that from any age. But yeah, it definitely becomes, I think even with Bitcoin too, it just gives us this kind of like, this like, you know, we're not doing things from like lack or neediness or from a lack mm-hmm. mindset. Like, that's very much, you know, fiat. That's like a very fiat mindset to think that it's like, it's the right thing to do to like hurt ourselves for others.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And it's funny how I feel like I'm so busy, because the time that I'm busy, I'm doing things in Bitcoin. But when it comes to like fiat responsibilities and stuff, I'm always like, oh, I don't have time for that. But when it comes to a Bitcoin group event thing, even flying somewhere to do something in Bitcoin, I'm like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, you want to make time for that. Why is that? Because there's a group of positive people building a better future. And you're like, you want to say yes to all those things and contribute however you can with the time that we have. You know, it's crazy how it's like you start to say, I don't have time for the things that you don't need or don't serve you. It's kind of like that.
It's exactly like that. Mm-hmm. That's so well said. It's exactly like that. And sorry, too bad, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Sorry.
I want to go where my cup gets filled and I fill others, not just I fill others and my cup is empty when I'm done.
Yeah, because when you're doing things that you can make others and grow this, bring up other people and help in this better future, you're like, yes, I want to do that. But sometimes you feel like you could be wasting your time, like you're wasting your energy, wasting your breath. So you're like, if you could do things like even like this, it's not like I'm helping the world understand Bitcoin, but even if it's one person, I'd rather do that than talk to a wall, you know, and just like,
and then be drained after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, this is incredible. I love talking to you. I know I've been keeping you on here for a while. We were supposed to have a good hour, but it's been a little bit here, and I know you probably have things to do, but I cannot wait to meet you. We're going to be meeting in Vegas soon. So it's going to be, you're going to be talking at the, both of us will be on the Genesis stage, actually. And you're going to be having your, what is it? How do you call it? Why did I not write this down properly? Forecasting Bitcoin. Is that what I said?
Oh, that's okay. It's kind of a bit of a long one, but yeah, it's like forecasting Bitcoin.
Okay, I wrote like a baby on my page.
I just think of it as like macro astrology, like Perfect. Let's get into it, but I can't wait to see you either. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that we did this. This was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. I loved getting to know you more too. I can't wait to meet you in person.
Thank you. It's going to be so awesome. And we're going to be also meeting up at the, whatever that is, the event, the Club Orange meetup too. We're going to be doing that. Yeah. And yes, I can't wait to see you speak. Yeah. And I'll be seeing you in Vegas. This is going to be great.
Awesome.
So yeah, I cannot wait. We're going to share this episode. I will try to get it out before we go so that people can actually see it before we get out there.
Awesome.
So yeah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Stacey. It was great.
Thank you. Have a great day, Heather.
Yay. Bye. You too.
Bye.